Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen, and in this video we will have a closer look on how we can use or inject a secondary navigation to SharePoint out-of-the-box master pages without actually modifying the master page as such, but still kind of providing the needed customization based on the business requirement. So quite often we have customers asking that they would want to have a consistent way of presenting links across back to their intranet in every single site collection. This is a relatively typical request. One of the things what we need to remember is that the suite navigation, the main bar navigation, is evolving all the time. So right now what you're seeing, for example, in here is the new app suite bar, which is right now already available within the Office 365 multi-tenant, and it will be available then across the Office 365 after a while. And this is, for example, giving us the capabilities of me as a personal person. I can add and for example, add certain elements to the main navigation. So regardless where I'm actually moving, I have those three persons or those, well, not persons, those three links available within my navigation. So I can always find back a way. But then quite often customers have a requirement to have that intranet or tools or whatever links within the toolbar as well. And that's one of the things what we're currently working on for the suite bar. But the key point here is that your customization should not actually modify the suite bar as such. So what we can do, however, is add an additional layer of navigation right underneath the suite bar using then alternative means. You could actually do that with a custom master page, which would not be, however, recommended because the custom master page has a much more long-term impact from a maintenance cost. What you can do, however, is use the JavaScript injection technique to add that navigation term there. So I'm already running the sample, so I'm going to move on the sample side. So this is one of the patterns and practices examples. So just to make sure that you're able to find this after the video, if we go to the patterns and practices guidance, if you go AKA MS and Office Dev PnP, you will land this patterns and practices GitHub site. From here, you can either go to the root or using the navigational elements to access the source code. And in this particular case, we are using samples. And then if we scroll down, we have a OneDrive for Business NavLinks injection, which is one of the examples what we have. This is not just only for OneDrive for Business, but it's obviously all of the samples are explaining how is it working, what is the behavior, why would it be useful, and when is it actually useful. This doesn't just only work on the OneDrive for Business, but it's originally it was written for the OneDrive for Business hybrid scenarios. But let's go back on the actual demo. So this is the running sample. It's a provider-hosted application which is showing how this customization can be applied. We could apply this customization using multiple different methods. Right now, we concentrate on showing you the functionality when it actually has been applied on the site. So I'm clicking the inject second level navigation. And the second level navigation injection has been applied to the host web. So I'm going to actually open up the host web to another tab. So we're able to see how the navigation has been now changed or evolved based on this particular customer's and business requirements. So what we essentially did was that we added a JavaScript injection, which is now adding right underneath the suite navigation an additional navigation layer. We're not actually touching the suite navigation, but we're using then the suite navigation to figure out where that additional set of navigation should be, and we're adding that navigation layer there. And these could be then pointing to your global intranet or whatever tools or whatever capabilities, wherever you want to actually point them. Key point here to understand also is that this would be only available within the SharePoint. So if I'm actually moving between, for example, the Delve or any of the other services within the Office 365, that second level navigation wouldn't be available. But this is relatively understandable quite often for the end users as well. So it's a sub-navigation specifically for the SharePoint. And wherever I'm in the SharePoint, I can always click the intranet link and I can get on the front page of our global intranet. Let's have a look how this actually is done. So I'm going to switch on the code just to have a look on those capabilities and what are we actually doing. So I'm going to quickly close some of the debugging sessions here, and I'm going to show you how the solution is actually built. So this is a typical provider-hosted application. It has the documentation, which is typical for our patents and practices guidance, so we explain how the things actually work. It has the app file project, which is actually the introduction app file, which will be added on the SharePoint so that the end users are able to do that. Well, this is not really an end user, real production-ready sample, but this is more a demo how the navigation links could be added there. Typically, you would actually include this as part of your site provisioning, as part of your OneDrive for business customization or your site collection provisioning tooling, so that the navigation elements would be there. And in this particular case, this is a provider-hosted application, so it's running actually in the IIS Express when I'm running that in a debug mode. Let's go and have a look on what actually happens when we click that button when we start the injection of the elements in. So we have the submit click, which is over there. And when we double-click or when we click the submit button, we will add a JavaScript link to the site. And let's go actually to that definition so we're able to see what's actually happening there. So what we're doing here is that we are adding a JavaScript, or we're creating a first of all, HTTP address as a JavaScript link. And we're adding actually a rev to it as well. So if we want to make sure that we always get the latest version out of the version, that's fine as well. In this particular case, we're using revision as the GUID, which means that every single time that JavaScript will be refreshed. In real world, in the production, you probably want to actually pinpoint to a JavaScript, which is then dynamically loading the latest JavaScript based on your configuration. So always loading the latest version of the JavaScript would then not be beneficial from a performance perspective. Then what we're doing is that we're creating a HTTP or sorry, JavaScript entry, creating that script in the string format, and then we're adding that to the web user custom actions. What it means is that as part of whenever the page is executed, our JavaScript is also executed there as well, which is adding that script element to the page. So our JavaScript is starting to be executed as part of every single page request. But let's have a look on the JavaScript actually. So let's move on the injected JavaScript. So I'm going to open up that one. That's the inject navigation JavaScript. And in here, we're able to then see what are we actually doing. So first of all, we're registering the script for MDS, the minimal download strategy, if possible. So we do need to do some additional tricks to make sure that the minimal download strategy optimization in the page request is working properly. Then what we are doing is that we are loading dynamically that jQuery 2.2. And then in every single page request, we're actually executing the following set of code. So we are immediately when the page execution has ended, we want to check first, do we have a store? Do we have a local version already stored of that navigation? If we don't, we will refresh the navigation. If we have a local cached version, let's use this one. And here we actually use, in this particular case, we use a hard-coded version of the links, which, however, you could actually build as links based on, for example, terms in your taxonomy and whatever is needed. But technically, what we are doing here is that we are creating that right styling, right elements, right structure, and then we are adding that right underneath that certain out-of-the-box element, which is the ribbon row. So right underneath, well, right before actually that ribbon row, but right after the suit navigation elements has been there. And then we store that information in the local store or in the cookie so that so we don't have to refresh building of this JavaScript and HTML in every single page request. And that's going to be helpful, for example, if the information is dynamic, if that links are actually coming, for example, from a term store. So you only one time go there and then you store that information, those links to your local cookies, and maybe refresh that in every single one day or every single hour, whatever is your time frequency. But essentially what we're doing is that we take a instance on the page DOM structure, and we are adding using a JavaScript at the second level of navigation. So you don't actually have to write a web control. So you're actually creating a JavaScript-based control or presentation without the need of having then a server-side web control included, or without the need to have even custom master page. Really, really cool example and highly requested capability across the dedicated and multi-tenant customers as well. Thanks for your time.